I'm Warren Berkeley with the Laurel Heights Church of Christ, and we are back into the book of Romans in chapter 15, verses 8 through 13. Romans 15, verses 8 through 13. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, "Therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name." And again it is said, "Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people." And again, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and not let all the peoples extol him." And again, Isaiah says, "The root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope." May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. That's Romans 15, verses 8 through 13. Now, all of this has context. The context of Romans 14 and 15 concern how Christians should treat each other. I've really tried to be clear, perhaps to the point of redundancy, that if your brother or sister in Christ is guilty of sin, the best response is to approach them to say and do whatever you can to bring them to repentance. However, in matters where no sin is involved, even though the person is very different from you, an attitude of patience and tolerance should prevail. That's what Paul deals with in Romans 14 and in the first part of chapter 15. And here in verse 8, something different, but related and very interesting. It is a historical fact that much of the tension and conflict in those local churches had to do with carryover prejudices and segregation between Jews and Gentiles. It may well be most of those troublesome matters of personal conscience discussed in chapter 14 were connected to the Jew-Gentile tension. So the main point of this passage is very similar to what is already covered by Paul in Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11. God's plan. Jesus Christ became a servant for the spiritual benefit of both Jew and Gentile. In his coming into the world, in his life, death, resurrection, and ascension, in his present intercession for us in heaven, the promises made to the Jewish fathers, the promises given through the prophets of God's plan were confirmed, and the plan all came together through Christ for all men. Jesus came to save the Jews, but also that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. I hope in the study of this passage, we don't miss the key idea that Christ became a servant. It was according to prophecy, Christ became a servant. And I have that phrase underlined in my Bible, Christ became a servant. Now, if Christ became a servant, what does that make us? Not masters, not dominators, dictators, controllers, or people with an elevated sense of our importance and how strong we are. We are servants of the servant. We take our cue from him, how he obeyed God, how he responded to people who were not perfect. If there was anyone strong, Jesus was. But he was patient, compassionate, and tolerant toward those with opinions that were not sin. On every issue of difficulty, potential conflict, how to treat people and avoid pride, Christ is our supreme example. Now, you will see something here interesting in this passage. These repeated sequential quotations or citations, often indented or italicized in most English Bibles. The first is verse 9, which is from Psalms 18:49. The second is from verse 10, which is Deuteronomy 32:43. The third is verse 11, which is Psalms 117, verse 1. The fourth is verse 12, Isaiah 11:10. Now, there is an element of progression in the sequence of these quotations from the Old Testament written by Paul in Romans 15. So let's go back through those. The first pictures David as rejoicing in God for his triumphs in the midst of the nations that had become subject to him. The second, from Deuteronomy, the position of the Gentiles is elevated to participation with Israel in praising the Lord. The third, in verse 11, calls upon the Gentiles to praise the Lord. The fourth shows that Christ, the root of Jesse, would arise to reign over the Gentiles. Thus, the Gentiles can enter the kingdom and live under the authority of Christ, just like the Jews. So, in this progression or sequence, God raised up Christ to redeem all people, regardless of their Jewish or Gentile blood. That should help us in the situation of Christians in the early churches treating one another with respect. The application for us goes directly to how we treat each other, how we receive each other, against the background of differences, ethnic differences, bloodlines, individual preferences, and matters of liberty. It really takes us back to emphasize verse 7, receive one another, just as Christ also received us, Jew or Gentile, to the glory of God. He accepted us. We are to accept one another on the basis of what God has said. Someone said, it should not be too difficult to extend the hand of friendship to the one who is loved by the one we honor and we worship. Any friend of his ought to be a friend of ours. The spirit of brotherly kindness that we have toward each other ought to be based on the spirit of Christ toward us. Look at some of the details here. In verses 8 and 9, there's an indication that not only for the Jews, but also for the Gentiles, Christ has become and continues to be a servant. He did this in order to confirm God's truth, his reliability, his faithfulness to the covenant promise, the promise made to Abraham. Christ confirmed the promise by again and again causing it to be realized in hearts and lives. Note the plural, promises, indicating the various affirmations of the one central promise. However, not only Jews, but also Gentiles were blessed by the work of Christ, for from the very start, it was the divine intention to gather his elect also from the latter, from the Gentiles. Therefore, though strictly speaking, God originally established his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the people of Israel, all of them were Jews. Nevertheless, His mercy extended also to the Gentiles, in fact, to the ends of the earth, Isaiah 45:22 and Isaiah 52:10, to all its families, Genesis 12 and verse 3. Takes us to verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you all with joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I want us to see how Paul describes God. Remember back in verse 5, the God of patience. Now here in verse 13, the God of hope. Who God is, I'm sorry, who God is should show up in who we are, his children. When the Bible tells us that God is love, God is spirit, God is truth, God is patient, God is hope, that's not just academic information. Who God is ought to show up in who we are and how we think and speak and act. Here in verse 13, Paul is asking the God of hope to fill his people with all joy and peace in believing. Now, one must be open and receptive to that divine filling. This is not about God forcing. This is not about God forcing an unbelieving person to be a joyous believer, but for people who are open to this filling of the Word in Christ, people who are receptive toward God and who have good and honest hearts, Paul prays God will fill them with all joy and peace in believing. Result, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for listening to this video study of Romans 15:8-13.